here we go. Episode 2 in The Grateful Life, as we're talking about what it looks like to follow Jesus in the context of Philippians. Tim Bubar.
Dave Grun.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Last time you talked about a little bit about your summer.
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And what are you excited about headed into this fall?
I'm excited about, let me think about that. My family?
Yeah.
Kids are back in school. My oldest daughter has a new job for the first time. She's not in school at all. She's got a job working at a hospital. That's really cool for Maddie.
It is cool.
Yeah. And she's maybe not that excited about it, but we're excited about it for her. Yeah. And, just excited to start another ministry year, and especially because we've been this summer starting to talk a little bit more about our discipleship pathway as a church. We are calling it a freeway, and just to get to talk a little bit more about that and start to bring some of those pieces into the light in our church, and just kind of go, hey, here's some things we want to do to make sure that we all know what we can do together to follow Jesus as we're moving that direction to be disciples of Jesus. So I'm excited about some of that stuff moving forward this fall.
That's really cool.
What about you? What are you excited about?
What am I excited about?
Yeah.
I guess.
UT football?
Well, yeah, actually I really am. And they could be really great this fall, which would be awesome. Excited about a concert coming up in September that's going to be at Neyland Stadium. And
sounds like a secular concert.
It is. It's going to be awesome. And then,
I'm kidding.
And then I, you know what? I'm excited about where we're headed in our teaching series over this fall.
Oh yeah.
And so I had somebody reach out and was like, oh, hey, where are we going? And so we might as well just tell people that for this month, we're going to be in Philippians. Totally pumped about that.
Yeah.
In September, we're going to be in Leviticus, and I'm super excited about that. And then we'll spend 4 weeks overviewing the book of Numbers. And then we're going to spend 4 weeks in Jonah. And that'll take us to Christmas. And
wow.
I'm really, really pumped about those.
Autumn in the Old Testament.
Yeah. That's a way to look at it. Way to bring me down.
No, I think it's going to be cool.
It's going to be great.
Actually, those are all, I like all some books that will, I think people would just be surprised by some of the things that they might discover in those books in the Old Testament that they think they know. I know what this is all about.
Yeah.
There's more there.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely true with Jonah.
Yeah.
I think as I think about Leviticus and I think about Jonah, I think they're probably on the end of the spectrum in what people think they know. If you ask somebody, hey, tell me something about the book of Leviticus, they'll be like, what? And then if you say Jonah, you're like, oh yeah, that's about a fish.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, so this week we're in Paul's letter that we call Philippians to the church in Philippi. And we're going to be talking about a little bit about live it out. And as we head into this week, a little bit of the structure of the week. And so as we head into this week, there's no super scary things out there, but we are calling people to a spiritual practice or a spiritual discipline, which is scripture memorization.
Yeah.
And I know that this is a particular for you. It's one of your passions, maybe too extreme words, but it's a significant spiritual practice for you. And so why is scripture memorization important, and any kind of like things you've learned along the way, because this has been something for you that's been a practice for a while.
Yeah. I grew up going to Awana.
Awana's,
by the way. So you'll put an S on the end of
there's
that.
No,
there's
S.
No S. Grew up going to Awana. If people don't know what that is, it's like a kind of like a church Bible club for kids. And you kind of focus on two things: playing games, like running, racing games around a circle, and the other thing is memorizing Bible verses. And I was way better at running in a circle as a kid than I was at memorizing Bible verses. My dad was the pastor. I was probably supposed to, you know, carry the torch of Bible memory, and I was terrible at it. That's not why I you know, started to take it seriously as an adult. I just, somebody I was reading was talking about like not just memorizing a verse, but memorizing small passages of scripture, not like huge, huge chunks, but just memorizing like a chunk of scripture, several verses together. And the, he just was talking about the benefits of that. And I said, okay, I want to try that. And over the last 10 or 15 years, it's been really impactful for me, largely because I thought the reason you would memorize a Bible verse is so you could tell other people Bible verses, you know,
it's like you pull it out.
I don't need to have the Bible with me. I can just tell you cause it's all in my head.
Yeah.
And I discovered it's really so you can, well, you, so the Holy Spirit can tell you that Bible verse, you know, so that can be brought to mind. And even the process of memorizing it, just of like, it takes a lot of repetition. And that's a way of meditating on scripture, is repeating it as, and as you're, as I'm trying to memorize a verse, I got to think about what it means, if I'm going to remember it. And it's just been a really fruitful way for me to get the, to get the Word of God deep down in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I like how you said it's a, the Holy Spirit bringing to mind, right? Like for, I think for a lot of us, we think like, well, God will just do it. As I'm talking about following Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit in me, isn't that just going to happen? Like, isn't that just going to happen? But if we're not giving the Holy Spirit material to work with, so to speak, yeah. I know that's probably heretical in some way, shape, or form. But if we're not investing in putting in our effort to put input in scripture in, we shouldn't be surprised if the Holy Spirit isn't bringing to mind scripture in the midst of all kinds of stuff in life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in particular, in this letter, and for those who have watched the Bible Project's overview video of Philippians, of this letter, they do a really good job at the beginning in that describing this centerpiece in the midst of this letter as really the focal point. It's an interesting letter in that it's got this really poetic piece that I think they call it Messiah poem in the middle of this letter. And so that's what we want to focus in on, people memorizing. And it's not just something to memorize for this week. I really think that it's something that if you were to memorize it, so that if you were going to memorize anything out of the book of Philippians, this would be the great thing to remember. And I can't remember if they point that out in the video or not. But I think Philippians is one of those books where we know a lot of verses, likely, if we've been around the Bible a little bit. We know a lot of verses out of Philippians, and a lot of those verses have been taken out of context, and they're just very memorable, or they're very things that we're like, oh, that really connected to me. But I think if we together put the effort in, and once again, I don't think personally that it's, you know, did you get all the periods in the right place kind of memorization? Like,
right.
do you really ingest the scripture so that if somebody said the book of Philippians, you would know at the heart of it is this incredible poem / hymn that's about who Jesus is and what it looks like for us to emulate him.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like you said, it's not about getting the every little period and prepositional phrase and everything like that. But I mean, those, you know, learn it as best as you can. But I think this week for people just to work through that, the way we've laid it out and live it out is you can work on a verse or two each day. It's just six verses, but it's six verses. And, you know, you mentioned there's a lot of verses in Philippians that people might have like a one verse memorized, or even half of the verse, cause it's memorable, or you've found a clear application for it sometimes. But like you said, sometimes it's out of context, and that's what's nice about learning six verses altogether. It's harder to learn six verses altogether, but it gives you at least a little bit more context to it. And I think that allows God to speak through it differently. And, you know, if you have a verse from Philippians 4 in your Instagram bio, you know, that's totally fine. You know, to have one verse in there like that, that's great. But like, to put, six verses from Philippians chapter two and go like this, whether it's in my Instagram bio or not, like this is a verse that I want to, I want to be in my brain and on my life, well, then memorize it. I think it's really worthwhile.
Right. And so as we've introduced memorizing it this week, it'd be great if you have it memorized by the end of the week, but it's not something we should give up on. Really, we have a few more weeks to go in this series and living out the grateful life. And so by the time we get to the end, it shouldn't be something that we did in week two of a series. Over the course of the series, if you have it memorized, we're going to memorize and reflect and meditate. It really is something that should carry throughout the whole series, so that by the time we get to the end, for a lack of a better way to say it, we have hidden God's word, right, in our hearts, in our minds, so that we would be able to carry that forward. If we're going to take something out of this series, we'll be able to say, oh, wow, I have this incredible reminder about the identity of Jesus and what a picture of true humility looks like.
Yeah. And that's a good reminder. We better put, you're obviously already thinking about it, but I'm going, oh, we got to make sure we put some questions and reminders that point people back to that in the last few weeks of this series, for sure.
And often we just make it up as we go.
I'll write that down. And, you know, people maybe are used to memorizing things or not. It takes, just like any spiritual practice, I think it takes some experimentation. So just experiment with what works for you even in this. Is it like, oh, I need to write it someplace that's visible to me and I'll see it four times during the day or something like that? Or do I need to put a reminder to work on it in my phone? How am I going to remember to work on it? I use an app. There's a couple of good Bible memory apps. So mine will remind me every day to review a verse, and it helps you, you know, it has a couple different ways of helping you learn the verse. So there are things like that. It just takes a little experimentation to figure out what works for you.
Does it matter what version of the Bible I memorize it in?
Does it matter?
Yeah. What version should I memorize this in?
I don't know. I tend to do it in ESV because ESV is what I'm reading and working with most of the time. So I tend to, but a lot of the first verses I learned are in NIV, because that's the Bible I was using then when I first started kind of doing more Bible memory. And I don't feel any need to go back and learn it in a different translation, you know?
Yeah. So basically any translation you would read.
Yeah.
That's good. What else? Is there any other tips or tricks that you can give us about Bible memorization? Because true confessions, I'm terrible at Bible memorization.
Yeah.
And in particular, I'll point to the way that often New Testament writers quote Old Testament passages when they write about them. They use free quotations. So I have a lot of free quotations running through my mind, but in particular, what I'm really terrible at is addresses. So chapter verse.
Yeah.
If you're just going to throw out there a chapter and verse,
I'm not good at that.
And ask me what it is, I'm probably not going to know. And that may even be John 3:16, like on any given day, right? On any given day, if there's somebody and they're holding up a sign, John 3:16, and I'm going, what does that one say? So if it's beyond that, the chances that I can just instant recall. So when you've been memorizing scripture as a spiritual practice, do you memorize it that way? Like, do you memorize like the chapter, the verse and that way? Or do you just like, hey, this is what I'm working on right now, and I know the Christ hymn in Philippians, and this is what it is.
Book and chapter is usually what matters to me. I know I memorized part of the beginning of Romans 8 and Romans 3 and Colossians 3. I don't remember how many verses. And if there was one verse from within that passage that I learned, if you picked one of them, I could tell you, I could say the verse and have no idea what number it is. I know it's Colossians 3. I know it's Romans 8, you know? So
yeah.
For me, the book and the chapter is close enough. Because if I turn there, or somebody else turns there, well, you're gonna find it.
Yeah,
it's there.
Close enough.
A shout out though to Robert at Roane County, lead student ministry out there, who got me, and maybe Dave. I don't know if you're into this yet.
I just discovered onto this.
An app called Versal.
Versal. Like Wordle.
But Versal. If you don't want to know chapter verse references, don't waste your time with this one. But it's kind of fun. It's basically, it gives you a verse and you have to figure out exactly where it is
in the Bible. So describe it. So it gives you a verse.
Yeah, it gives you a verse.
And so then you start by having to pick
what book it is, what chapter, and what verse. And then it tells you which of those things you got right in the right position, like Wordle, with a green. It's yellow if you guessed the right, like let's say you guessed verse 23, well, the 3 might be yellow because it's actually verse 34 or something like that. So you have, it has a 3, but you have it in the wrong place. Yeah. So it gives you yellow. And then it tells you whether the right answer is earlier or later in the Bible. And then you guess again and you get like 6 guesses. When it's something from one of the Gospels, it's not too bad. When it's something from Obadiah, it's really hard to get.
Yeah. And when you and Robert were showing me that, and I actually put the app on my phone, and I haven't touched it since. So good, thanks for the reminder. I appreciate that. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I think for people who like to play games, it's a fun little game to play.
Yeah, it is. And so, to your point about the, memorizing the exact reference and exact words and things like that, I just would say don't get, if you find getting those the exact precision difficult, don't worry that much about it. Like if you've gone through it and you go, oh, I missed this word, or I said a different word that means essentially the same thing, or it's from another translation where I've heard it before, and I don't care. You're not getting a gold star. Maybe I'll start carrying gold stars around. But
could you do that? That'd be awesome.
Bible memory quiz. There's no gold star for getting it exactly right. So don't worry about it.
That's awesome. Yeah, so this week, we also have, coming up on this Wednesday night. And so one of the things in Live It Out, it's not just, do this quiet time thing in the morning. There's also a call for us to join in, do some things together. And so this Wednesday night, opportunity for us to come together in all in prayer on each one of our campuses. And so one of the spiritual practices that can help me grow is praying with other people or praying in community in some way, shape, or form. And so all in prayer, we say that it's about praying our vision into reality, but it's also just a great spiritual practice for us to gather together with other followers of Jesus expressly to join in. We would call worship-based prayer. It's just a great opportunity for us to come together on all of our campuses.
Yeah. Wednesday night, August 14th. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're listening to this after that, you can still pray.
That's right.
All right. Hey, so this weekend we're going to be talking about this idea of a grateful life growing out of humility, like the connection with humility. And as we've talked about that, we talked about the soil that the life, the grateful life grows out of. But in particular, I want to focus in on this idea of humility and something that we talk about quite a bit, or we have in our podcast, is don't do a checklist, right? Like life is not a checklist. Don't do a checklist. Don't treat your spiritual life as a checklist. And after our last podcast, we had a conversation. And so we want to clarify a little bit about what we're saying when it comes to lists in scripture and not using them as checklists, because the lists are really good and really important,
yeah,
but that's different than a checklist.
So. Yeah. A few weeks ago when we were wrapping up our last series and we were in Titus chapter 3, at the start of that chapter is a short list. And I just remember as I was doing Live It Out that week, like Monday and Tuesday, we read through those verses and I was like, this list is actually really helpful about submitting to authority and not talking, like not trashing other people with your words,
yeah,
and being like having an attitude of obedience. And I was like, these are all things that I want to do. And like, I want to work on, you know, I want to, I'm really thankful for this list. So lists can be really beneficial. You just can't treat them as a checklist, you know?
Yeah. Like a to-do list. Like, I did it, and so I did that.
Check it off. Move on.
Move on.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, so I think it's really important that we clarify there's a difference between having a list of attributes, and there's a difference between treating that list then as, you know, a list to check off. And I think one of the examples is really fruit of the Spirit. When it comes to fruit of the Spirit, back when we were in Galatians, we want to be careful that we're not treating that as, oh, I need more of this and less of that and more of this and less than that, or hey, I'm really good there, but I need more of that. But really seeing that as a whole, and in order for me to see it as a whole, I do need to still see everything that's on the list. Yeah. I need to see all of that that's there. And so I think of it more like a path to walk. It's a life to be lived. And so if I'm in need in any one of those areas, that I don't stop needing all the other areas, but I need to come back to the center of the path.
Yeah.
And in the center of the path, I have these attributes or characteristics or fruit of the Spirit, whatever the list is in Scripture, so that's what it looks like to walk in the center of the path.
Yeah. And so the list, I think it's healthy for it to be a marker, for those individual things, be markers or identifiers, kind of waypoints along the way to go, okay, am I on track? Am I on the right path? Or have I veered off somehow, swerved, like Paul likes to say in 1 Timothy. I don't know. He's in the people have swerved from the faith.
Yeah.
So this week, Dave, your message, and it's, you know, that emphasis in Philippians 2 on humility, that's such a good example, because you can't achieve humility, check it off, and move on to something else. Like, I've arrived at humility, because by doing that, of course, you're now bragging that you've arrived at humility,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
It's obvious that it's really self-defeating to be viewed as something to check off your list. But instead, you know, one thing I hope that people get as they engage with Philippians chapter 2 is to go, okay, is this, you know, Paul talks about having a mind that's a particular way, a heart that's a particular way, and going, is this the way my mind and heart, is that where my mind is? Is that where my heart is? Not so I can check it off and say, I did it, but to go, okay, that's where I want to be on the path. Super helpful.
Yeah. In particular, when he talks about, he uses this phrase, have this mind among yourselves. Mm. Like what does that, that's not a, a common phrase that we throw around a lot.
Start off small group with what mind do we have among us? We don't use that.
And so it really is it's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. And Paul actually talks about it in Romans. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians. Like, this is a way of thinking. And so this is how you are to think. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And then he lays out this really pretty incredible poetic treatise on who Jesus is, and talks about how that although he was in the form of God, he does not count equality with God something to be held on to, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And one of the things as I went through over the last couple of weeks and look at what different commentators say, it really is a really important in this list to not overanalyze it. And often what we do is if you're taking apart every single word, you may end up missing out on the poetic structure and what Paul's actually trying to do here. And so it is, we do in any kind of poetry, in particular with a psalm, if you overanalyze it, and if you take the language too literal, you end up missing the point of the poem.
Yeah.
And so this one in particular, as we're going to say this is a minimum, and there's debate out there whether or not this was an ancient Christian hymn that the early church sang about who Jesus is, or that there's debate out there. There's not consensus whether it is or isn't, but the poetic structure really isn't in doubt. So whether it was a poem that Paul wrote, or whether or not it was a poem that Paul quoted, or whether or not it was a lyrics to a song that Paul used, either way, he's making this incredible connection between the God of the Old Testament that Isaiah talked about as the suffering servant, and he's connecting it to who Christ is and this incredible example of what true humility looks like. And so then the question becomes, is this just an example of what it looks like to be humble, or is this the identity of who Jesus is? And the answer is yes. It's both of those. And so if we fall down in either direction, if we just look at this as an example of humility and be like Jesus, that becomes really discouraging really fast.
Yeah.
And then if it's just a theological statement,
right,
about the identity of who Jesus is, that's nice, but then where's the example?
Yeah.
And so the answer is like, okay, there's a... And I don't think it's walking in the tension of the two, not trading one or treating one more than the other. But as we've become followers of Jesus, there is a call for us to emulate him in our lives. And so in that sense, memorizing this, even though it's a different type of list, there still is a path and markers and guideposts to be able to go, this is what humility looks like. Do I grasp onto my rights, or do I willingly lay them down?
Yeah.
Do I hold on to the things that are mine, or do I trade them away for the benefit of another?
Yeah.
Do I hold on and be defensive, or do I become obedient, crucifying those thoughts that I have, the rights that I have, yeah, in the name of being able to lift up somebody, yeah, else?
And to even just, to wrestle with, why was Jesus doing that? Why was he like that? How does he do that? Why don't I naturally do that? Why do I want something different than what Jesus obviously wanted to do? Those are good things to have to wrestle with, that's why having this in your heart and in your mind long term is good, because those are things to wrestle with for years, not just one day or one week of a series.
Yeah. And so the hope is, as you go through Live It Out, that you would be able to go on, like, a lot of the questions are for you to wrestle with these things. What does it mean for me to have a gospel mindset? What does it mean for me to have a scarcity mindset? And if I really look in the mirror of my heart, mm-hmm, how does the fact that I believe that there's not enough to go around in the scarcity mindset, how does that drive a lot of what I do in my life?
Yeah.
Which is the way the majority of us operate as people.
Yeah. And what I think is so interesting about, when you brought up that scarcity mindset in this passage is, I think usually when we think of scarcity mindset, we're thinking about material goods. And so it's like, what does scarcity have to do with? Generosity with money or something like that. But in what you're talking about and what comes through in this passage, it's not about like how the scarcity mindset means that I hold on to all my stuff. It also can mean it's how I hold on to my, like, my love, my heart, my willingness to serve others, my willingness to give my time to others. It impacts way more than just what I do with my money. You know, that God has everything I'll ever need and happily gives me all that I'll need has way bigger implications than just what I'm going to do with my money. But it's really about where my heart is.
Yeah. And then it leads to all kinds of stuff in my life. A fear of all kinds of things.
Yeah.
If I think that there's only so much of anything.
Right.
Right. The easy one is finances.
Right. Stuff.
That's given. Yeah. Right. But then beyond that, if I feel like if I only give so much of my emotional capacity,
right,
if I give away my right to be offended and forgive somebody, who's going to make them pay?
Yeah.
I only have so much forgiveness to give. And because I only have so much forgiveness to give, what if I give it to them and they take advantage of it? Whatever it may be, this scarcity mindset keeps us trapped. And we're not able to demonstrate this picture of humility that we see in this incredible poem at the middle of a letter called Philippians.
And that's what I won't say too much about it because I want to let people read it and get to it themselves. But I think it's Thursday this week. We get to a parable in Luke. And I just love it's a weirdly practical parable that Jesus gives and teaching that goes along with it. It's kind of parable, but it's also just teaching. And it really gets at we live humbly and then see what God does on the other side, what his part is. Our part is to live humbly, put others, you know, not just think of our own needs, but the needs of others. And in that teaching, Jesus kind of reveals what God does on the other side of that. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And we all have a chance to actually ask Jesus a question saying, who's someone I can see and lift up today? That idea of lifting somebody up, to raising up another. And I think this has real practical implications in our family and definitely in the workplace and definitely in our schools, that if we're about seeing people and recognizing how we can make an investment in them and lift them up, considering them greater than ourselves, that's a different approach than the world takes.
You know what that is, Dave? That's living it out.
That's living it out. All right, Tim Bubar, is that your last word?
I think that's it. I mean, come on.
You beat me to the punch. That's it right there. Tim Bubar, the last word is...
live it out, everybody. That's living it out.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you next time.